Rogue in Porcelain, written by Anthea Fraser and read by Jacqueline Tong.
Chapter 1. Tom Parrish looked round the small, cramped dining table with satisfaction. Though he'd been renting the flat for nearly 4 months, this was the first time he'd managed to have all the family here. All except, obviously, his wife. Odd, he reflected, not for the first time, that despite Catherine's central role in his life, Avril was not yet his ex, the decree absolute being 2 long years away. Their own decision, of course. It could have been rushed through, but at their age such haste struck him as unseemly, as would Catherine and himself living openly together before they were married, which no doubt made him a hypocrite, since they enjoyed all the benefits of married life, despite sleeping under different roofs. This evening, Lindsay's presence was a particular pleasure. His twin daughters had been equally upset by the split, but it had taken until now for Lindsay, who'd sided firmly with her mother, to bring herself to accept Catherine's place in his life. Rona, his other daughter, traced a finger round the rim of her side plate. "I see the best china's been brought out for the occasion," she said. "This isn't from home, though, is it? I've not seen it before." "Actually, it's mine," Catherine said quietly. "The crockery provided is fine for every day, but Tom felt this evening warranted something special."
"And special it certainly is," Lindsay commented.
"Curzon, no less. Hugh's parents have a dinner service in it, and they treat it like the crown jewels." There was a brief silence. These casual references to her ex-husband were becoming increasingly frequent. Proof, Tom deduced worriedly, that they were meeting fairly regularly.
"As it happens, I saw Charles Curzon last week," he remarked to break the silence.
"I didn't realise you knew the family."
Max, Rona's husband, nodded acceptance as Tom held up the wine bottle.
"It started professionally. They bank at the National. But Avril and I have been to several of their parties. I'd not seen Charles since I retired, and as he was in town, he rang to invite me to lunch."
He paused.
"Actually, I'm slightly concerned about him. He didn't look too well."
"He must be getting on a bit," Rona said. "Surely he's not still involved in the business?"
"Not actively, no, but he was telling me it's the firm's 150th anniversary this year, and they're bringing out some new line which is cloaked in secrecy. I have the impression he's finding the build-up rather a strain, added to which he and his wife are about to move house."
150 years? Max glanced at his wife. "That qualifies them for your brief, darling."
Rona, a freelance journalist on the monthly magazine Chiltern Life, was engaged in an intermittent series detailing the history of long-established local firms and businesses.
"So it does," she agreed. "I'll add them to my list."
"I'd slot them in sooner rather than later," Tom suggested. "They'll be extra newsworthy with this anniversary coming up. I can give you a letter of introduction if you think it'd help."
"Thanks, Pops, I'm sure it would. I'm coming to the end of the piece I'm working on, so I could try them next."
She sipped her wine reflectively. Such a long time span might need a couple of articles rather than cramming it into one. It's not only the firms that I research, but the lives of those who contributed to them.
Tom laughed. "In that case, it could take 4 or 5. They're a large and diverse family. I still haven't worked out the exact relationship between the younger ones."
"The business didn't just pass from father to son, then?" Catherine asked.
"Well, yes, but way back there were 2 sons, each of whom had sons of his own, and so on. So now there's a clutch of cousins and second cousins. Charles has 2 sons himself, but one has 3 little girls, while the other's divorced with no children. From the way he was speaking, I think he's worried his branch might peter out."
"Girls don't count, then?" Rona asked quizzically.
"Not in running the business. No, they never have. But since they get their fair share of the proceeds, they don't miss out."
"Unless," Lindsay put in, "they happen to have a flair for business and would give their eye teeth to be involved. So much for women's lib."
Tom held up his hands.
"All right, all right. I didn't make the rules. I have to say, though, that in all the years I've dealt with the Curzons, I've never heard of there being any resentment.